Hi, my name is Molly Elizabeth. I believe in the power of imagination, that creativity can lift us out of the darkest places, and that we all are resilient as fuck. I'm here to let you know that you're darling and loved, and that coming home to yourself is the most revolutionary thing that you could ever do. This is the Darling Revolution Podcast. So I'm just going to start. I have been avoiding recording podcast episodes, actually. Or not so much avoiding, just have had lots of space to, I think, express myself in ways that I wasn't able to when I started this podcast. So when I started this podcast, it was very much a place for me to kind of audio journal to myself, and I was going through a very difficult time and didn't have very many modes for expression, didn't have like a studio like I do now and a partner to talk to like I do now, and so all of those things have changed, and yet this podcast still exists and still is a place that I want to be in and that I want to share, not only for myself and practicing sharing my own story, because as much as I do in other ways, I think it's still hard for me in many ways to be vulnerable, because vulnerability is just always going to be hard. If it's not hard, then it's not vulnerability. Thank you, Brené Brown, for that reminder. But also, I have really been wanting to turn a new leaf with this podcast and get some more interviews, but also just start talking again. And not just for the sake of talking, but for the sake of being honest about where I'm at in my journey and what's going on with me. And so I've actually been really inspired by Liz Amaya. She is a hand letterer and she's on Instagram, and she's actually the first person that I started following on Instagram who I really attached myself to, in that I was like, oh, this can be something that I can do maybe as a hobby, when I was first coming out of the really deep, dark postpartum depression with my daughter over 7 years ago. And so I bought her lettering course, and I think I did maybe one practice sheet and I still have it. Sorry, Liz, if you're listening to this ever, but it was just enough for me to know that there was something that I could have for myself and that I could do. And so she has recently, this past year, launched her own podcast, and it's called Bravish. And this isn't sponsored or anything. She's just been inspiring me again, but in a new way. So I needed to bring her name up. And her podcast, Bravish, she is just recording once a week, every Friday, whatever is top of mind. And the podcast episodes aren't that long. They're usually less than 20 minutes, and they're easily digestible and easy to listen to and feels like a conversation with a friend. So I've been inspired by her podcast episodes because she's just been very intentionally real and raw and honest, and I'm inspired by that because I'm always looking for ways to grow and to stretch myself and to be more honest and more real and more trusting of myself and my own voice. So here we are. And what is top of mind for me is actually this journey that I have been on. And I keep on saying journey, and it's like, ugh, I don't like that word. And it's funny because actually I think that's something Liz said in her podcast too. It's just like, it's just like, feels like the most Pinteresty word to say, but it's an adventure. It's a process. It has been a very intentional process over the last couple of years, and even the last few months since August, of really learning a lot about myself, particularly how to hear myself through my body, how to hear my own voice, how to trust my voice, how to trust my intuition, and really feel my feelings. So I think what's most top of mind about all of that for me right now is the idea of intellectualizing feelings over just being in the feelings. And this idea is really has been a mindfuck for me because for most of my life, I had this thought that I was pretty good at feelings, and I am. my personality type in the Myers-Briggs system is I'm an ENFP, which means that I am all about exploration, but then my secondary cognitive function, which is introverted feeling, is like my decision-making function, and it means like complex feelings and a very lush internal emotional landscape, which very often is hard to put into words. It's more of like feelings and textures and colors, and which I'm sure is a big part of why I am a visual artist, because I don't have words all the time for the feelings that I have. And so I will paint them, I will draw them, and I won't always know how to explain them after the fact, which is why sometimes having to have an artist statement and explaining things that are inexplicable can be kind of taxing for me. But so because I have this lush internal landscape and I have been growing and self-developing and have been very focused on that, particularly in the last decade, I did not realize until recently how much I had been intellectualizing or talking about my feelings instead of feeling the feelings, which is to say, being in my body. Embodiment has been a big focus for me lately. Noticing the things that come up, the literal physical manifestations that come up in my body as emotions. And so, you know, feeling if there's tension somewhere in my body, or if my throat feels blocked up, or if I feel like there's a weight on my chest, all of those things, it's difficult for me to sit with them and to really feel into them and really embody them. And so I've been doing this work in therapy, and a lot of times my therapist will take a deep breath and sit back and look at me, and I just know it's coming. And she'll tell me, huh, well, I just, instead of moving on, I would like us to sit with this. And as much as I have gotten so much better at being still and sitting with it and breathing into it and being embodied, and I'm so proud of all the progress that I have made, it still feels just so uncomfortable and so vulnerable, particularly in the deepest, darkest nooks and crannies and caves and crevices in my internal landscape, where there is a lot of pain, there's a lot of trauma, there's a lot of hurt, particularly around the religious situation that I grew up in and that I found myself in, full tilt, wholeheartedly in ministry and leadership and all of that for most of my 20s. There's a lot of trauma, and I'll probably have episodes where I'll go more in depth on that. It's a lot to talk about and it's a lot to unpack, but it's hard for us to sit with our own discomfort, and it's difficult for us to sit with our own pain. And a lot of that is our body and our emotions and all of our beautiful coping mechanisms that our beautifully complex brain and body come up with to keep us safe, really, and protect us, right? Also end up protecting us from the deepest, most beautiful, happy core emotions. So it's been hard for me to access true joy and contentment because those emotions are all wrapped up in the same package as some of my deepest pain and trauma. And it's like Brené Brown said, like, you can't selectively numb pain. And so a lot of the coping mechanisms that I have developed, which have looked a lot like fight or flight, but mostly freeze, that kind of in-between coping mechanism of being afraid to move and being afraid to say anything and just being wrapped up in this boa constrictor of fear. That coping mechanism has kept me away from my pain and my feelings for such a long time that it's a lot to sit with them. But I am learning how to do that. A really good example of this is as I've been focused on embodiment, I have been taking myself to some movement classes, which I had missed dance, you guys. I basically had a minor in dance in college, and I haven't taken a class really since 2013. And this week I took myself to my first true like dance class, and it was an ecstatic dance class, which is kind of has the similar feeling to yoga, except for so much more fun and better in that you can move however you need to move wildly. There's moments of stillness. You can vocalize, you can yell. Everyone's, you know, yelling together at different points. It felt like being completely free in my body, almost animalistic in the freedom, in the best way. No one's really touching each other or anything. Everyone's in their own space, but we're all in this space together and just letting our bodies move. Even now I'm sitting on the couch recording this, I'm letting my arms and my shoulders move around, thinking about that experience and just letting our bodies move the way that they want to move, and trusting that inner body wisdom, which for me, growing up in a very, shame-filled belief system, where the focus for me and how I interpreted it was that I couldn't really trust myself and I couldn't really trust my gut or intuition. I always had to export trust to, you know, either the Bible or what someone else was saying. I couldn't really trust myself in my own body. And so this, for me, moving freely and trusting my movement and trusting my feelings in the moment and just letting them be and being with them, being present, is the hardest but most beautifully freeing work that I have done in my life yet. And so that class really brought that out of me, and that's still very fresh. That was 2 nights ago. I'm still very sore from it. I'm thankful but sore because I've spent 2 years, you know, not moving a lot, and I had injured my shoulder. It's still injured and everything, but all that to say, it was beautiful. And then last night I was in a restorative candlelight yoga class, and the focus of all of that is just a lot of stillness and a lot of breathing. And I had a moment during one of the meditative parts, the savasana, which is like a 20-minute part at the end of this yoga, which is basically just breathing and meditation, like laying flat, where I had a strong wave of emotion come over me. There are emotions within me all the time. Again, my emotional landscape is very complex internally, but this was a definite feeling of just a tidal wave of grief that came over me. And it was a feeling that needed to be felt, related to how, you know, whenever grief comes up, there's loss involved, and having to leave a faith group, having to complete a marriage, and not being able to be with my kids all the time, a lot of the time now, the past few months, I've not really been able to be with them as much as I want to. There's a lot of grief involved with that, and when that wave of grief came up, my first instinct was to brace, you know, like brace against it, go into that same freeze mode. But instead, and I'm so proud of myself for this and also for sharing it with you guys, I not only was I aware, because of the work that I've been doing in therapy and things, of the freeze mode that I was going into, I was aware that that was going to happen and that I was doing it and that that was a coping mechanism. And so the first thing that I did was breathe into that freeze feeling and welcome the fear and acknowledge it and acknowledge that the fear had been there to protect me, but that it didn't need to protect me in that moment and that it was okay. And then I allowed the grief wave to kind of just wash over me. And I cried while I was laying there in candlelit yoga. And it was beautiful. It was painful and it hurt. And there was a part of me that just wanted to freeze back up and swallow the tears because they hurt. But there was also such a beautiful release with it. And the thing that I realize more and more as I am becoming more embodied and trusting myself and being with myself, with my body, with my feelings, with my reactions, becoming more and more curious and not judgmental about what she has to say, my body, the more that I'm realizing that when hard things come up and when good things come up, you know, everything is transient and nothing lasts forever and it's always going to change. And so if something is really painful, I know now from experience more and more that it's not going to last forever, but that there's something that that pain is trying to teach, is trying to point to. And in that moment of grief, the pain was showing me the fact that I just love my kids so much. And I'm so thankful to have something that I love that much that it makes me hurt. Maybe crying during podcasts is going to become a regular thing too. I have to tell you, I couldn't cry for about a decade because I was so repressed. And now it's becoming a very normal thing and I welcome it. I feel very grounded in that. Still feels vulnerable. Don't love it in a lot of ways, but also welcoming it and being present. But welcoming that painful feeling and really allowing it to be there and being present with it so that I could gently unearth what was underneath that feeling has been the most amazing treasure for me. Because again, as I stayed with the feeling and slowly, you know, internally began to unearth what was underneath, I realized that it was love, and it was a deep gratitude that I have these humans, these little and big humans in my life that I love so much, and that I had the opportunity to love this other person that ultimately didn't work out, and it's sad, but it's also beautiful what we had, and just, I'm thankful for all of it. Do I feel thankful all the time? No. Have I been working on tapping into my anger? Yes. Anger is a harder one for me because I've learned, I was taught for such a long time that it wasn't okay, and I'll probably do more on that later, but all this to say, I have been so thankful to come to the realization and to kind of touch on the fact that intellectualizing and talking around emotions is not the same as having them and sitting with them and being in them and letting them be embodied and letting them be valid and okay, no matter what they are, no matter how painful, it's okay. It's okay to have the pain. It's okay to react negatively to the pain. It's okay. It's okay. It's okay. And it's okay to be with myself. So that's where I'm at today. And I wanted to share with you so that you know too, it's okay to be with you, whatever that looks like. Love you guys so much. And I'm happy to be here again in this space, and I'm happy to be with you and that you've dedicated time to be with me. So thank you. I see you. I love you. Till next time. Rage on, darlings. Thank you so much for hanging out with me today. It means the world for each and every one of you to take time to listen to this podcast. I love each and every one of you. If you want to hang out with me on social media, you can find me on Instagram or Facebook under The Darling Revolution, or you can get all the latest updates about what I'm up to, events, new offers, new artwork, new podcast episodes, all the things by signing up for my email list on my website at www.thedarlingrevolution.com. Again, thank you so much for hanging out with me today. I love you all. Till next time, rage on, darlings.